Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Welcome to episode number 50 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. And with me again, Dustin Gawker and Adam Candy. You can find them on Twitter at Dustin Gawker, at Adam Candy. And of course, you can subscribe, rate, and review us over on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. We would appreciate that. Guys, we are going to talk about some DraftKings news. We're going to talk about some numbers that have come out. We are also going to talk about some of the things going on in the various states out there, as we do each and every week. But guys, here we are, well into week number 6, 7, 8, depending on when you decided to go ahead and start quarantining and all of that. And, you know, look, we're starting to see some of these things come out, and not to spoil what we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, but we're starting to kind of see the effects here, Dustin, on what this quarantine has done to the gaming industry.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think this is any shock to anyone that that sports betting is getting hurt. You know, there's no way it could even get a small percentage of what it's doing before, just with the basics of what's out there. You know, the NFL draft, like we talked last week, has helped. But we're going to start seeing, you know, the reality of what sports betting is going through, and just that there's not but that much out there, even if you do have an online betting app still active. Yeah, you
know? And Adam, we are taking a look here. Let's start things off with this DraftKings news. And this is something that we were monitoring way back when, and it has finally come to fruition. If you want to head over to the NASDAQ, you will find DraftKings listed.
Accurate information. DraftKings goes public as of last Friday. They completed the reverse merger with SB Tech through Diamond Eagle Acquisition Corporation. They're listed on NASDAQ. You can pick up a share of DraftKings stock at $19 to $20, the trading price right now, after opening closer to $17. So decent little bump for DraftKings. And Dustin and I both got a bit of education yesterday as we were looking at the initial valuation for DraftKings being $6 billion on market cap. And essentially, for those of us, I wouldn't say me because I know all of these things. For those of us who are learning a little bit here, market cap being available shares of common stock times the stock price. And that's where we get the $6 billion for DraftKings. Of course, be smart about what you're looking at out there. That $6 billion is a fairly easy number to get to once you know the way the formula works. You're going to see numbers ranging anywhere from about a billion to one crazy number of $13 billion for a value on DraftKings. There's a difference between the market cap and the valuation. Valuation is a lot harder number to peg, involves a lot more factors than that market cap does. So, you know, stick with what you know, which is the $6 billion on market cap, and try to avoid some of those other crazy numbers that are being thrown out there.
The crazy number that is of all of this, though, is, you know, DraftKings being $6 billion company, it makes about, you know, right, and this is with sports, maybe $400 million, $500 million in revenue in 2020. Let's say sports actually happened, maybe north of that. They're also launching an online casino in Pennsylvania as of Friday. So, but that's a crazy number. It seems like a crazy number when you look at it for a company that is not yet making. It's based again a lot on the what people think will happen to DraftKings in the future. This is being put out there as a pure play for the U.S. online sports betting and online gambling market. They have their own platform with SB Tech. So this is kind of unique in that there's not other companies that you can invest in that are like this. But it is, you know, for me, who's been in this for a long time, covering DraftKings when they're still doing pretty small raises, and then they did a several hundred million with led by Fox back in 2015. This is kind of wild to sit back and see where DraftKings has gone and is now this, you know, pretty big publicly held corporation now.
And Adam, as we take a look at DraftKings here, and you said if you wanted to go and buy DraftKings, is this industry as we sit right now, like how are we viewing this? I mean, I know you guys are digging in this a little bit further than I. I mean, we were watching the gaming stocks kind of tank there for a while, and now we see just this incredible rally with all of these gaming stocks. I mean, you know, we were talking about Wynn and Sands and Penn and MGM, and from where we were talking about them, you know, even I think it was about a month ago here on the podcast, I mean, we have seen, you know, Wynn all the way back up to $89 a share as we talk about it here. Las Vegas Sands all the way up to $49 a share. And we've seen Penn and MGM and Boyd and all of these, even El Dorado, get back up pretty good here. So, I mean, what are we seeing going on here since you've done a lot of research on this in the last, you know, 48 hours?
You know, we've looked really closely at the DraftKings situation, probably more than some of those other general gaming stocks that you're talking about. And the DraftKings situation really seems to be based on speculation of what the future might be for sports betting more than what we see right now. You know, as Dustin mentioned, the only reliable revenue for them right now is online casino. Obviously, there's no sports betting revenue beyond the NFL draft anywhere on the immediate horizon. You know, when you mentioned those other gaming stocks with those Las Vegas-based operators, I think seeing the backing that those operators got from the federal stimulus has gone a long way to building some confidence in their futures. I think the beginnings of a restart in China go toward that as well. But overall, you know, this number on DraftKings that we're seeing right now, this $6 billion, really does feel, I'm not going to say high based on anything other than just to the quick eye test, but it does feel a little bit more based on potential than what we're seeing right here in this moment.
And Dustin, one of the things I was looking into this and I shared to you on our kind of private chat here was one of the things that I did look when I kind of dug in here is that Jason Robbins pretty much controls this company top to bottom still, even with this merger and whatnot. I think we saw that he has 90% or something of the voting rights and still has just an incredible amount of shares when it comes to everything here. So while this is now a publicly traded company and there is going to be a board and all the different things like that, it looks like Jason Robbins is still pretty much solely going to be calling the shots here.
Yeah, I mean, the way this goes down, again, this was not an IPO, although we've seen that in the media as well. This was a reverse merger with a blank check company that basically allowed DraftKings to become public. So they kind of did it on their terms. It looks like, you could have bet against DraftKings at multiple points in their history and Jason and the founders, but they've basically bucked it every time. They've come out on the other side all right of everything. And, you know, this is, for everything that's happened, you know, they've carved out what's a valuable company here in the United States. You know, again, another one of the crazy things to me is the dichotomy between what happened to DraftKings and what happened to FanDuel. Basically, the owners of FanDuel before they got bought out by Paddy Power, Betfair, now Flutter, they got nothing out of it, and they got kicked out of the company. And here, DraftKings and their founders are, you know, sitting pretty well. The future is obviously, you know, in you don't know exactly what's going to happen with the stock and what's going to happen with the company, but right now everything looks pretty rosy and good. It's definitely you're absolutely right that they did this in a way that, you know, if you're going to go public, they did it on their own terms and seem to come out of it pretty well.
And Adam, we have a story up over at Legal Sports Report by Brad Allen that just takes a look at how, you know, the U.S. sports books are being hit by the coronavirus and what's going on with all of that. And we know the relationship between DraftKings and Kambi, and maybe even maybe a little, let's not call it completely hard feelings going on here, but maybe a little bit of a shot taken by them.
I believe that the kids might say Camby's statement makes it look like Camby's a little bit in its feelings. The quarterly report comes out from Camby, and of course, like most, most suppliers, there is a certain amount of caution in there, but they have pointed to the fact that their European businesses are holding up better than their American businesses. And they also pointed to the impacts of the coronavirus shutdowns as a reason to say, well, this is one reason why outsourcing is still a pretty good idea, because all but the largest companies who are completely vertically integrated are, you know, might be potentially struggling a bit to do everything. So, yeah, the Camby relationship with DraftKings, of course, will continue until all of SB Tech and DraftKings operations are merged together. That's not supposed to be till closer toward the end of the year. But yep, I thought that was a notable little piece of the Camby quarterly report that came out this week.
So the only sporting event, quote unquote, sporting event that we have had to bet on in quite some time is the NFL draft, guys. I mean, it has been 50 days since an NBA game was played. So we figured that the NFL draft was going to do pretty massive numbers. Now, it's not going to really change the way that these states come out of this as far as handle goes for the month of April. But that being said, for a singular event that doesn't take place on a court or a field or whatever, some pretty impressive numbers we are at least hearing initially coming out as to what the NFL draft did.
Yeah, I would say that the numbers are close to in line with, if not a little better than even what we expected. William Hill, right after the draft finished on Saturday, put out some numbers saying that they did five times the amount of handle that they had done last year on the NFL draft. They said that was comparable to what they might expect for a good Thursday night football game. Earlier in the week, we'd heard from the Sugar House folks that on Wednesday, so before the first day of the draft, they already had 90% of the handle that they would have had for the entire draft last year. And of course, the bulk of the money usually comes in right before the draft starts and as it's going on. So we know that at least from those two operators, the numbers were enormous on the draft. And I think you guys would agree with me in general that for as much skepticism as we had about how it might be pulled off, that overall the NFL put out a passable event given the circumstances.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I was certainly entertained and thought that they did pretty well. I mean, you know, Dustin, when we hear stuff that they're saying, you know, that this did comparable to like a Monday night football game, and we know that the island games Thursday, Sunday night and Monday night, that these games typically do really nice handle because they're on an island. I mean, you know, of course, we weren't going to get the hyperbole that you were kind of making fun of, where people saying like, could we see Super Bowl numbers? As I was like, come on, man, that's absolutely absurd. But, you know, to hear that they probably did what you would get on an island game like a Monday night football, I would imagine these sports books are feeling pretty good right now, consider all things considered.
I agree with that. I mean, it's, you know, I think that's what the expectation was, like a big primetime game. And then like William Hill comes out, like this was like a big primetime game. And, you know, it's still a very niche product, but there's so little to do to keep your customers engaged. Like, you know, there's even been polling about what people are betting on right now. They're like, you know, table tennis is fine, but it doesn't really get the casual person betting and engaged with their product. So, you know, the NFL draft, everybody, you know, it was pretty good numbers from the rating standpoint. Obviously, it was a live event that we could watch and also bet on, so it had that. You know, I think this also speaks to what you're going to see when you actually have some live events. You're going to see similar kinds of things. You're going to see, if we have NASCAR races, for instance, in May, you're going to see some pretty big numbers for NASCAR. This is a pretty niche sport in the betting industry, but there's a possibility just a lot of people will be keyed into it. So, you know, anything that you know, sportsbook operators can grasp onto right now as an event where that's kind of mainstream, I think you're going to see a lot of that, a lot of interest in that.
Now, while we think that these numbers for the NFL draft are going to look nice and fat, what was not nice and fat, and this is, again, we talked about this, hinted at this at the top of the podcast, was the numbers that are going to be coming out of these states for these months that have been hit here. And Nevada is no different. And Dustin, we saw a pretty big drop and a pretty drastic change year over year for the Nevada numbers.
Yeah, this is Nevada trails all everybody else in reporting. So this is the last of the March numbers that we're getting. But we finally got Nevada's numbers, and it's about what we see, expected and what we saw with every other state. Handle took a huge dive, 140 million or so in March. Last March, it was almost 600 million. So that's obviously, you know, most of the month without sports, no March Madness. March Madness is a bigger share of betting in Nevada than it is in other states as well, just because it's a destination place to kind of bet on March Madness. So, yeah, not great, but it's also, you know, exactly what we expected. And, you know, it's, you know, the online betting apps are actually saw an uptick over a percentage. So obviously that's the only way you can bet. No physical sports books open right now or at the end of March. So 63% of handle was online in March, and you know, we'll see, you know, it's the kind of thing where you hope Nevada again sees the idea that mobile betting is good. You can still engage with people. You still have a chance to, you know, not make really meaningful revenue while sports are closed down, but this mobile betting does help and at least keeps you activated with your customers.
Adam, we are pretty excited about what's going to be going on in Colorado. We get a new state joining the fold here of legalized sports betting in the United States. We get to see also a interesting case study here where, you know, we're talking about one of the really open markets out there. We're going to see tons of competition go on. So Colorado looking like a fun state for us to track moving forward.
The wild, wild west in a way, Matt, because it is a state that is a completely level playing field for operators large and small, old and new. We'll find out Friday what it's going to look like. As of Friday, Colorado sports betting will be live, as we have mentioned. There's not a ton to bet on right now, but you will see four sports books go live in Colorado. Which four? I suggest you go to LegalSportsReport.com and check out the analysis that Brad Allen did of who really might benefit the most from starting Colorado sports betting without a lot of games to bet on. A good article by Brad, checking that out. Of course, all of the state's 33 casinos are eligible to start a sportsbook app of some shape. We know that the mobile sign up and funding can all be done remotely. We know that the casinos in Colorado are up in remote towns in the Rockies. We've seen 90% be the top number for share of handle coming from mobile that came out of Pennsylvania last month. Colorado has a chance to go over that. I saw some initial predictions of 95%, at least in the short term. That could be the case, of course, because casinos are still closed down. Nobody can go to bet in person right now. So you'll get a good look at that at the beginning. And Matt, just to jump back quickly to Nevada there, that's no small jump going from 48% to 63% in a state like Nevada that has been so traditionally resistant to mobile. Obviously, there was no choice. You had to go and bet mobile as the casino shut down in the middle of the month. But there could easily be a long term lesson to be learned there for Nevada. And maybe there will be some lessons for Nevada operators like Superbook and Circa who are getting involved in this Colorado market that's going to be so huge for mobile handle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am fascinated by what is going to go on in Colorado as well. I think that this is going to be one of the most fun states for us to cover for at least the next couple of years to see how this all plays out with all of these guys kind of going at the market share there, trying to get customer acquisition. We do believe in a way that DraftKings and FanDuel will have the upper hand, not only because they're going to be willing to come in and spend a ridiculous amount of money marketing, but also they have been operating DFS there. And of course, the brands are familiar with the people who are in the state who play DFS and whatnot. But it is going to be something else. I cannot wait to see how that goes down. I guess we do have, if they launch on Friday, if everything goes as planned, it looks like there will be a UFC event on May the 9th. And so looks like that'll be the first kind of major thing that Colorado people will be able to bet on. So the UFC might get a lot of fanfare there in Colorado with the shiny new toy of being able to bet and it being the only sporting event in town. They might be getting a nice little pay-per-view buy coming out of Colorado there, Dustin, because as we know, one of the things we say all the time is you get engagement whenever you bet on something. And if it's the only thing to bet on, they're probably going to get some pay-per-view buys out of Colorado out of it.
Yeah, you got to think, and you know, there's already a little bit of a hotbed there. I think there's been some MMA in Colorado before. It's definitely, you know, DraftKings also running $1 million contest on the DFS platform. Aside from that, going back to what we're talking about on the market, it is the first time we're going to see kind of Vegas and the legacy European other sports books, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever, go up ahead, get head to head. You know, they won't all be live day one, but you know, Vegas sports books have said, our pricing, all, you know, what we do, this is what makes us special. We're going to go in and compete, and you know, they're not really going to have anything to fall back on. They've been saying this for a long time, and now they're going to go into a market, you know, that's wide open, and you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, maybe back to the drawing board. You know, I'm one of the ones who's going to be betting that, you know, just opening up the doors and saying, here's our Vegas style sports betting app, which is not as good in terms of tech as we're going to see in the rest of the country and from the competitors in Colorado. So that's the really fascinating part, I think. And it's, you know, it's setting itself up to be how that's going to work, how it's going to be, and whether, you know, whether these Vegas books and their lines and pricing really do stack up and attract customers.
We are obviously in some weird times right now. That said, we did have some pretty big news come out of Virginia here, Dustin. We talk about, you know, Colorado is going to join the fold officially on Friday. And now we have Virginia, at least a state that has done some passing over there.
Yeah, this one was kind of, the news came in kind of drips and drops, but it is official in Virginia that the laws are enacted. The governor had signed it with, or basically sent it back to the assembly there with some recommendations in a special session. The House and Senate there said, yes, this is good. We're going to take your recommendations. And that then turned the Virginia sports betting bill into law. So kind of the, you know, time frame is always the thing we're interested in here. It's the law is effective as of July 1st. There's a regulations need to come out by September, so there is at least a chance that there could be sports betting in Virginia later this year. Again, with the caveat of who knows how things are going in the world. Like, it's hard to believe that Virginia, a state that really hasn't had much in the way of gambling before now, is just going to suddenly flip a switch and say, oh, here's sports gambling right away. But, you know, we saw Indiana go from 0 to 60 really fast and get online betting up and going. There's at least a possibility that happens in Virginia. But as of now, we can officially put Virginia on the big board of states that have betting and indeed online betting. You know, that's obviously the big deal. If this was just brick and mortar casinos, we'd be less excited. As part of that law, though, as part of the package of bills, they also legalized physical casinos there in Virginia. So anyway, if you're in Virginia or the DC area, you're going to have online sports betting sometime in the near future.
Adam, one of the things that, if they weren't following along with what was going on in Virginia, one of the things we talked about that was kind of interesting was the fact that there was a big, big push to make sure that the two tracks, when I talk about that, like raceways in Virginia, were going to be included as well. Is, as this finally got done, it looks like that was the case, right?
Yes, that was one of the big asks that came from the governor, was the definition of a major league sports franchise that was in the bill. So that originally included the four major sports, and it did not include NASCAR. Now, that provision, you have to understand where it came from. Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington NFL franchise, was ping-ponging back and forth between Maryland and Virginia and saying, well, I'd like to put sports betting in a new stadium. Can you get me sports betting in a new stadium? And both of those legislatures were considering whether they would do that. Virginia obviously gets its law passed. But what it also did was it gave Northam the opportunity to get NASCAR into the definition of a major league franchise. Now, don't expect that one of these tracks is going to be able to just say, okay, we're throwing open the doors to a sports book, but it could set up a marketing agreement for either of those tracks to where you could include sports betting within their offerings. So that was a big change in that Virginia bill, one of the largest changes that the governor asked for. Also, that change that included the background checks that some operators believe could cost them up to an extra $1 million in licensing fees was passed. However, regulators there and operators seem to believe they can come to some sort of understanding that will adjust the definition of who has to get those background checks so that it won't cost quite that much.
We talk a lot about DraftKings and FanDuel. They are entering these markets and pretty much taking over whenever they enter these markets, jumping straight to the top. And as far as getting the volume and everything, as far as players go, but you know, one of those guys that is sitting out there, one of the people that have come into the States, an Australian based company, not a Euro based company, is PointsBet. Adam, we've talked about PointsBet here and there. We talk about, you know, listen, a nice app, has a different form of betting if you wanted to do the whole points betting thing. So they're trying to innovate a little bit. We've seen that their live in-play stuff actually works pretty good, a big menu and whatnot. They I'm not going to say stumbled out of the gate, but certainly haven't really clawed into a big piece of the market share. But looks like there's at least something to, at least a little bit of something looking up there for PointsBet.
This PointsBet story, Matt, is a great lesson in don't believe everything you see in the first 12 to 18 months, because it's not necessarily what the long term is going to look like. The biggest thing that I'm seeing from this PointsBet story by Matt Waters that comes off their quarterly call is a bump in handle share in New Jersey over a 3-month period from January to March versus the previous 3-month period, from 4% of New Jersey handle to 5.6%. What we've been talking about in New Jersey forever is who's going to emerge as the number three in that market. FanDuel and DraftKings have been 1 and 2 for quite a while there. But in a market that's as robust as New Jersey, getting closer to 10% is no small potatoes. And PointsBet moved in a positive direction there over the last 3 months. Now, is it because of that product that they have? Is it just because of familiarity and what has been a pretty big marketing budget for PointsBet? Tough to say this early on, but a reminder that not just what you see initially is going to be what holds for the long term. PointsBet making some noise there. And PointsBet has obviously put a pretty big wager on Colorado too. They've opened up a headquarters in Denver. They're expecting to be a big player in that market. You know, when I talked to Johnny Aiken, the CEO, before PointsBet launched in New Jersey, he said, look, you know, we launched originally in Australia, as you mentioned, Matt, that's where they came from. And that was essentially proof of concept for the US. This is what they've been building toward for the entire time that they've been there. They said even when it was just an Australian market, that NBA betting was one of the biggest things that they had. So they've had some chances to practice and get going here. They've got some sharp people, and that jump of 1.5% of the handle in a competitive market like New Jersey is worth noting.
And Dustin, I think it's also worth noting, I think with PointsBet as well, is they are looking to be a player in nearly all of these states that are coming online that allow for online wagering. I mean, when we look at all of these states, Adam just mentioned Colorado, but you know, any of the other ones, Illinois, Michigan, et cetera, where there is going to be online sports betting, it looks like that PointsBet is making a push to become a player in just about every state that they're allowed to.
Yeah, and they're being aggressive about it. They're not kind of just sitting back. You know, their goal is to, you know, try to get some share of voice right away. You know, we've seen that the early days in New Jersey where they're constantly doing, you know, marketing and things to try to get in front of people's eyeballs, just, you know, the karma committee or whatever, where they refund bets and things like that. And some people scoff at that. But, you know, I think PointsBet has really differentiated themselves from a lot of the other players out there. You make everybody else is a little bit generic to me, but PointsBet at least has this personality. It has something going for it, and I think that's worth something in moving forward in other states. I think the other thing that's interesting, PointsBet is getting into online gambling. It looks like it's going to have an iGaming platform in Michigan, which is in addition to legalizing sports betting, is legalized online casino. So it has that coming as well. So you know, PointsBet is hoping to recreate on a smaller scale what DraftKings and FanDuel have done, and like Adam said, this is it is a long game. Despite the fact that we have some leaders right now, you know, there's some companies like PointsBet who I think are pretty well situated to do better moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the same by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, we talk about DraftKings and FanDuel, and we talk about DraftKings and FanDuel from a DFS perspective and how they kind of got their name out there. But it's worth pointing out that they were, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they were kind of late to the game. I mean, there were several other DFS sites and several other DFS versions of how to play the game and all that that were already out there. And then DraftKings and FanDuel just came along and did it better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, there's like Adam said, I mean, it's still early in the game here and definitely marathon, not a sprint type situation. So while there are people who have jumped out to the lead here, it's no sure thing that they're always going to stay there. I mean, this is, you know, people are certainly going to become more savvy when it comes to all of this and figure out different things that they either like or don't like or what is important to them. And, you know, I also am sitting back a little bit and saying, you know, look, yeah, there are these companies that are by and large, the market leaders as we sit here, April heading into May 2020. But does that necessarily mean that's going to be the same case May 2022, like 2 years from now? I don't necessarily think that I'm going to gonna hitch my wagon to that.
I'm not either. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. It's we do make a lot out of the early days and that DraftKings and FanDuel have this big lead, but it's just not guaranteed to happen for forever and ever.
I mentioned Illinois, Dustin. Don't want to get past there without you touching on some news coming out of there.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's been a long time. I mean, the backstory of this is Illinois has been a flashpoint for what's going on in the Illinois in the DFS industry for a long time. I remember sitting around on a Christmas Eve whenever that went down. Was it 2015? And Attorney General said DFS is illegal gambling in the state. So there was a decision in a case that happened, you know, that said that at least this limited holding of certain types of DFS contests are basically head-to-head contests in this lawsuit that happened are games of skill. This would have been obviously great information to have long time ago when DraftKings and FanDuel were going through all their legal problems in various states, including Illinois. So, it's an interesting one. This one's hard to sum up with in a podcast. This is a great read by John Holden over at Legal Sports Report. So, if you have more interest in the law and how it intersects with DFS, you know that was our wheelhouse once upon a time before sports betting came around, and it is still an interesting footnote to the everything that's happened in the DFS industry and what led us to have DraftKings and FanDuel today.
Adam, one of the biggest debates, and shocking to me that it is even a debate, but there are people out there who still believe that, you know, college athletes are only entitled to a scholarship and that should be enough for them. And it doesn't even matter that these football programs and athletic programs, football programs in particular, make just massive amounts of money, and that is definitely a business, and it's a for-profit business. There's no doubt about that. And these athletes don't really capitalize on any of that because there's not allowed to make money off of what they are doing by putting the butts in the seats and selling the hats and the jerseys and the hot dogs and everything like that. But a pretty big announcement came through, and we are looking here at, you know, now this name and image and likeness thing could actually put a little bit of money in these guys' pockets. But how would that actually come around to sports betting with all that?
It's interesting how long this has taken to come to fruition, Matt. You know, we're talking about this story today, as we should be. It's big news. But I mean, this is years in the making for the NCAA to catch up with the rest of the world when it comes to compensating athletes potentially for their name, image, and likeness usage. So the news is that the NCAA Board of Governors has approved some guidelines for student athletes being able to have endorsement deals regarding their name, image, and likeness. What we saw in those guidelines, though, is that it seems to exclude tobacco, alcohol, and sports betting as the sort of vice categories of those through which athletes can get some sort of endorsement. Could that change potentially? But I mean, there's so much that's archaic about NCAA policy. Even as legal sports betting has spread across the country in the past 2 years, we've still seen the NCAA lag behind the professional sports leagues in terms of their acceptance of legalized gambling. And when it comes to this issue in particular, look, if you're someone who would love for your boss to make more money while you work harder, if you're someone who thinks that in labor disputes in sports that the players already get enough, the owners should make more, then you might empathize with where the NCAA is coming from. Otherwise, this is a long overdue victory for student athletes.
Yeah, it is. It, like you said, I mean, it's just it's pretty crazy that this has been an argument as long as it has. I can't believe that it even lasted this long. Dustin, I imagine you fall on our side here. If not for anything, you probably grew up like me playing NCAA football on various video game platforms. And then they stole that and took that away from us. And damn it, if that means that I get NCAA football back, then this is all worth it.
Apparently you're not, though. That's what's the sense. And like there, people are more excited. We're more excited about that prospect. And that's gotten kind of shut down from what I've seen is that the NCAA it's not quite as easy as that NCAA whole rigmarole for NCAA to get back into that. And they seem to be not interested in licensing that. So I don't know. It's I would love to have NCAA football back. It is probably like the most interesting out of the whole sports franchise. And it was kind of fun to build a football program in that game, but I'm not sure we're getting that back as a result of this, unfortunately.
NCAA, if you're listening out there, you better give us the damn NCAA football game back. All right. Like this, listen, out of all this, that's all I'm asking for out of all this. Like, I mean, just give me the damn game back. This is all we're looking for here.
Pretty soon though, DraftKings will have pools on simulations of what 2003 NCAA football. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how much longer this lasts. There's no doubt about it. Adam, were you an NCAA football game player?
The national powerhouse I built at UNLV was remarkable. I mean, year after year, the recruiting classes that we were able to bring in were remarkable. We won 5 consecutive national championships. And as we know, that reflects real life, same as UNLV football.
Yeah, I mean, and you were able to get like what, 13, 14 5-star recruits every single recruiting class? I mean,
consistently top 5 in the country. I mean, I was the Nick Saban of recruiting classes.
Oh man, that really was incredibly fun. You would like get pissed off if you didn't get a 5-star recruit that you were going for. You felt you were entitled to get all the 5-stars that you went after. Like everyone that you offered, like when one would turn you down, you'd be like, "What in the hell?
How you mean you're going to Alabama instead of UNLV?"
Oh, it was so great. All right, Dustin, before we get out of here, I'm going to get you to fill us in on a few little quick hitters here, and then also let everybody know how it is to chase a cat at night underneath your porch.
I mean, if you're betting on me versus a cat who has escaped, bet on the cat. Although the cat was eventually procured and returned to the inside of the house after it had never been outside in its whatever 13, 14 years of existence. So good fun. Broke up the pandemic quarantine pretty well to do that. Good exercise too.
I'm glad you were able to secure the cat. I'm glad for you, man.
Yeah, if it was a sad story, it wouldn't be nearly as fun.
Let's talk about Flutter and Stars, though.
Yeah, so you know, it's we kind of forget this is going on, but these two giant online gambling companies in the midst of all of this are merging. Flutter and the Stars Group. This is the company that owns FanDuel, the company that owns Parker Stars, becoming one. The shareholders of both have now approved the acquisition. Just last week, Stars Group approved that their part. The deal is supposed to close in May. It doesn't seem like there's anything now stopping this from going through. So, I don't think we expect this to be like earth shattering things happen right away. But this again, when the story broke, this is an absolutely huge company becoming number one. This is the company that again owns Fox Bet, is Stars Group in the U.S. It has just a lot going for it, especially in the U.S. I mean, this is an international deal with lots of implications for the U.K. and Europe and elsewhere. But this is this creates a potential powerhouse in the U.S. in that you can cross sell the online casino, online poker that both groups excel at, and the sports books, FanDuel obviously leading the way. Fox Bet is probably a top 5 operator right now, and obviously has the might of the Fox brand behind it. So this is happening, and looks like it'll be a thing that happens next month, and we'll have this even larger online gambling company together. And I think a lot of people are thinking consolidation in this space is not done. I don't think this new company is going to add anything, but there's going to be probably other companies that become one as things go on here, and especially as businesses are hard hit by everything that's going on in the world right now.
If you want to read more about that, that is at our sister site, onlinepokerreport.com. One of the other stories over there, Dustin, is the fact that some of these smaller casinos were actually eligible to get some of these loans. This was a thing that was pretty big when it first came out, that, you know, they were, the AGA was really kind of speaking out about how some of the, what they felt to be some of these businesses got unfairly left out the first go round, but it looks like this time around they are going to get some relief.
Yeah, casinos can get these loans from the federal government now. This, like you said, they missed out on the first round. This might be too late for some of them. And, you know, the casino industry, you know, we think of, you know, the MGM and the Caesars and the Wynns and all of that. But there are just tons of little casinos, either run by tribes or run by smaller regional operators. These are obviously jobs that are important to communities around the country. You know, there's, you know, like in states like Mississippi, there's a ton of casinos all over the state that, you know, that aren't always owned by these large corporations. So, while the big corporations have kind of made it out of this, are looking like they'll make it out of this okay, and are actually being aggressive on not wanting to open up operations, like, you know, a few months of not operating on these small casinos is definitely going to hurt. And, you know, in a small neighborhood, in a small community where some of these exist, it's definitely going to hurt those communities. So it's good news that some of these casinos can get some help now.
And one of the other big stories over at one of our sister sites at Play Pennsylvania is just, we talked about the alternative revenue for some of these other gambling companies out there, and DraftKings actually going to be launching online casino over in Pennsylvania. Looks like that is going to happen as soon as May the 1st. So if you live in Pennsylvania and that's something you're interested in, story is over at Play Pennsylvania as well. Adam, before we get out of here, Legal Sports Report, all of these stories, I mean, we're in what considered, for as far as sports goes, you know, I mean, our some of our other sites out there having a tough time figuring out things to talk about because there are no actual sports going on here. But I mean, you guys really, I mean, look, numbers keep coming out and things keep happening, and there are laws that are continuing and bills that are continuing to move along or not move along or whatever it might be. So still a lot to talk about here, despite the fact that we are in kind of the middle of this really weird time.
Matt, I kicked off a couple of projects that I can't give full information to our audience about quite yet when sports betting shut down, thinking I was going to have plenty of time to work on those projects. And that has not been the case at all. There is still a good volume of news coming in, a lot of stuff over at LegalSportsReport.com for us to keep up with. So yeah, I definitely encourage people to keep up with us. Stories like DraftKings going public have been of huge interest, especially for those who might potentially want to grab a few shares of DraftKings. And we'll have all the coverage of that over at LSR. One thing that I don't think we're going to have a full story on, but the people need an update on from a couple of weeks ago. Have you become a master pepper grower?
I have roses in my backyard now. I do have that, but they are being eaten by some sort of little bug that is making them not look as rosy as they should. And so we're trying to figure out how to combat these little bugs that are attacking my rose bushes. I decided that I was not going to be the expert pepper grower, but instead was going to make something very beautiful in these roses in my backyard. But the bugs had other ideas. And so, any ideas out there as to how to combat whatever these bugs are that are eating my roses, at Matt Brown M2 on the Twitter machine, my DMs are open. Like, I'm taking all suggestions.
Eagle Garden Report.
Slide on into Matt's DMs. Soon.
Seriously, yes.
Slide on in and let him know what to do. Matt has used his quarantine time to take time and grow the roses. So help him out.
Grow and smell, right? I mean, I'm trying to. I had to grow them so I could smell them.
If there's anything that we know you'll do, it's grow and smell.
That is, there's no doubt about that. As we mentioned, a couple of these stories we're talking about, the Flutter and Stars deal, the small business, the small casinos getting the business loans and whatnot over at Online Poker Report, our sister site, and the DK Casino stuff is at Play Pennsylvania. But all the rest of the everything that we talked about here on the podcast, you can find and read in detail over at LegalSportsReport.com. So please go ahead and do that and follow Dustin at Dustin Gowker, at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y, on Twitter as well, to stay updated for everything that's going on, and as well as all of the hot takes that Dustin can dish out. Subscribe, rate, and review Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google. And guys, we made it 50 episodes. Can't wait for the next 50, and looking to celebrate episode number 100 with you guys, and hopefully in some better times as well. For Adam, for Dustin, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.